once again, Evelyn Baglini. Evelyn, welcome back.
Thank you.
Do spells and curses really work?
Yes, Art, they do.
I have endless communication, Evelyn, from people who say they have had a curse put on them and their life has been ruined. Their life literally in every category. I can't, honest folks, when I tell you this, I really mean it, that they've had a curse put on them and their life is ruined and they're looking for any way out, Evelyn. What do these people do? I mean, what do they do?
Well, first of all, if someone has been placed a curse, have had a spell put on them,
yes,
are under psychic attack,
yes,
first of all, let them go to my website, mysticalblend.com. If they will look under ritual packages, there is one there that is called psychic self-defense. What this does is it removes evil and negativity, sends it back to the sender, and then puts a shield of protection that is impenetrable around the individual.
All right, let's take a curse, for example. Mm-hmm. Evelyn, if you were to put a curse on somebody, let me understand this. You would put the curse on them, and then would you turn your back and just forget about it from that point on? In other words, once the curse is laid on, it would do its own work, or would you have to consistently reinforce that?
No, I do not have to reinforce it. Once I say so be it, it is done. It's done.
And that curse begins, and then under its own power, it just wreaks havoc in a life.
It feeds on itself and anything else around it.
Do you do that at a price?
What do you mean? You mean, are you going to pay a price if the person...
No. If you were to put a curse on somebody, there's popular legend that there's karma.
So you would pay the price.
That's my question,
If you have justification, no. If that person is an innocent victim, yes.
Okay. So if they're an innocent victim and you're a mean, bad witch...
then you are going to get the law of either threefold, or if another practitioner found out about it like me, I will invoke the law of tenfold.
All right, I hear that a lot, threefold, tenfold, meaning it comes back to you three times stronger, that kind of thing?
That's right, or 10 times stronger, and normally what I will do is put a length of time on it, like 5 years, 10 years.
Huh. That's a long time.
Yeah, well, depending on the circumstances and what that individual has done to another, that will justify the time.
Have you put such a curse on a person?
Many, many times.
Many times?
Many times.
Uh-huh. All justified?
All justified. Mm-hmm. I will never touch an innocent. That's why I am a spiritual warrior.
And the kind of things that have happened to these people are what?
I have seen people's health completely ruined, their career completely ruined, marriages destroyed, companies and businesses failed.
These are the things these people write to me are complaining about, Evelyn. They're complaining about exactly that.
Yeah.
Now, in America, I guess we might as well talk about America, how many people are practitioners of what you're doing?
Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And they're that far underground. There are not many people like you, Evelyn, who come on the air and admit what you're doing, what you are.
Well, that's because, again, most people want to consider that they are only practicing white magic so that the normal population will not fear them. I tell it like it is.
Witches probably have a good reason for not tossing that kind of fear around. I mean, after all, they really did get burned at, you know... They burned a lot of witches,
right? And they got burned at the stake.
Yeah.
And if they had done that to innocent victims, then that is the recourse.
Maybe if they just said, hey, I'm a Wiccan, I just don't do anything but good, and nothing but good can actually be done, they wouldn't have been burned.
That's a possibility, but it is not a truism.
Well, I understand, but honesty in your business can have hot results.
Well, that's why there are only a few of me out there that will tell it like it is.
I haven't actually, I've not met another. I did interview that young lady. I don't know if you recall that or not. I think I've mentioned it to you actually before.
You're talking about the Satanist witch?
Yeah, oh God, she was frightening. And as chilling as it gets, she said she was going to make sure that her son came to her, came to hell with her. And she was real serious.
Yeah, she was dead serious. And she was going to do it. And could do it.
That was going to be my next question. How can somebody like yourself determine that a soul is going to go to hell, particularly that of a child? How could that be done? Or maybe I don't want to know.
It's not so much to determine. You have to find out who the practitioner is, what the sect they belong to, and have they made a commitment to the dark side and offered a child as part of the sacrifice for the power they are going to receive.
Oh, God.
And it's been done. It's been done for centuries, Art. It's not something brand new.
Well, you know, law enforcement tends to say that there's very little of that kind of thing actually going on. But
well, why would they know about it?
On the other hand, Evelyn, there have been ritual killings, haven't there?
Very much so. And the police force is not going to find out about it. They don't advertise it to the public. These are secret societies that have been around for centuries, and part of their ritual practices is sometimes the sacrificing of human.
I'm almost afraid to ask. Obviously, it's done for a reason, so the person doing it believes they derive power from
they
something like that.
They do derive power.
They
yes.
do derive power.
Yes.
Boy, that's dark stuff, Evelyn.
Yes, it is, and there is the dark side of magic. I have never said that there was not. I've always tried to give balance in magic. I've always tried to teach the positive end, but I must acknowledge that there certainly is the dark side.
And you really couldn't properly combat the dark side without knowing it, could you?
Correct. I fight fire with fire.
See, that makes sense to me. You, as in know your enemy, you would have to understand the dark side and its ways to fight it.
And use the forces in order to combat it. This is one time love isn't going to get it.
God, I've always thought of love as the most powerful thing in the universe. But you say, no, love doesn't.
No, not when
conquer.
You are fighting a practitioner on the dark side. Love is not going to win out.
Well, you said there's tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of practitioners. How many of those are on the dark side, do you think?
I'm going to say maybe 40-45%, if not more.
Oh, my God.
Art, when you deal in magic, you gain knowledge and power. And power can corrupt. If you are not in balance, then you are going to be prone to lean toward the dark side because your ego is going to get involved, and you're going to want to manipulate, control, and subjugate, and intimidate.
All right, let's talk about that. Controlling, for example. I've had a whole string of remote viewers on the air that I've interviewed over the years, and one subject I inevitably get to with them is remote influencing, and
yes.
That means remotely making somebody do something. And you know what? They all get real quiet, or they say, oh, no, that can't be done. Or just a few select will say, well, you know what? We've started to experiment with that, and it would appear as though it's possible, and then they won't say very much else about it at all, Evelyn.
Well, that's because it is very dangerous. It has been used for, again, thousands of years. There is no practitioner out there, no matter the culture or the tradition, that has not been able to use remote influencing.
Yeah.
When I open up my altar, when I have an effigy or a representation of an individual, the ritual I am performing is to influence that person, to manipulate them in the fashion I desire. Positive or negative?
When you say altar, describe it.
I have an altar. That altar has, let's say, candles, an atham, a boline,
a chafing dish.
Chalice.
I don't know what chalice I know. Back up. What are these?
Tools of the trade. All right. Specific candles in colors to represent what I am attempting to accomplish.
All right.
A image candle to represent the individual or subject I am working on. Then I will call down a cone of power. I will call upon the elements of air, earth, fire, and water to assist me, as well as to, let's say, bear witness for what I am about to do. When I open up this altar, then, and calling upon my elements, that's when I am performing a ritual either to help or to harm a subject.
Would these things, the altar and the candles and so forth and so on, if they weren't there, could it still be done, or is it dependent upon these very, very specific rituals, specific words to do these things?
It can be done with the mind alone. Most people do not realize the power of the mind. Art, we only use less than 10% of our brain capacity.
Right.
I would have to say the real last frontier is the mind. With meditation and visualization, you can relieve stress, anxiety, pressure, and tension just by the power of your own mind to help yourself. People have had and have undergone surgery with the power of the mind.
I've heard that.
You can program the mind to even have a dream to solve a problem that you have.
Yeah, oh, there's no question about that.
You can relieve pain. You can heal the body.
Or conversely, I've heard people can make themselves sick.
That's
people
right.
People can even virtually kill themselves.
That's right.
They can make themselves so sick. And all of that can be done with the mind. And I agree totally with you that without a doubt, the last frontier. And I've done some experiments, as you well know, that lead me to believe it may be the most powerful frontier.
It is. If you want to affect change, if you want to attract good fortune, to improve your lifestyle, your career, your social life, and even your love life, you can, with the power of your mind, using meditation and visualization, just like placing a curse, putting a spell, affecting a cure, healing the body, or protection of yourself, your family, your loved ones, or your home. All can be done with the power of the mind. And in order to influence others, you are able to affect change in those same categories, either on a positive basis, working on your family, your loved ones, your friends.
This is the kind of thing that will get you burned at the stake.
Yeah, but see, Art, what I am giving out is if you want to help a person in their career or help them get a promotion or see their business, you know, grow, then you can use magic properly and positively.
Right.
You can help cure a person, help heal the body.
I know, Evelyn, but if you can influence the President of the United States or whoever's leading the Russia at the moment, or China, or a world leader, then you're so dangerous you can't live.
Well, there are people out there in the years past that have been trained in order to influence politicians as well as other people, and that's been done for the last 35, 40 years that I know of.
Yes.
Our government was involved in it. Other governments have been involved in it.
Yeah, people don't realize that, but of course it's true.
And that is remote influencing. What do you think they're trying to do?
Well, all the remote viewers that you talk to, you say, hey, do you guys think there's still a program going on? I mean, they all say, hey, Art, it worked. But they also all say, oh, no, it shut down. It was too embarrassing or whatever it was the excuse was. You know, so there is no way they wouldn't use it if it worked. If it worked, it's even deeper black than it ever was before, and it's going on in spades.
That's right. Covert operations are still in existence in that area.
I believe it. How could it not be? If the first thing all these remote viewers say is true, and that is that it works, then sure as hell they're going to keep using it. And you know, they're going to use it the way governments use these things.
We have to hear, because over in Russia, as well as in China and in other parts of the countries, they are using it, Art. They're well aware of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of information indicating China has very much an ongoing program.
Yes, they do.
And I just, again, I don't believe that we're not.
We are, thank God.
So is there some gigantic psychic war going on out there between operatives of various governments, do
yes,
you think?
Yes, there is.
There is?
Yes, there is. And believe me, there are many out there who are trying to shut down the opposition.
I do believe it. I do believe it. We can't have a remote influencing gap.
That's right.
So let's just ask this straight out. Could the mind of George Bush be affected so that he would take a decision that he otherwise would not have taken?
With the proper individuals focusing their attention like a laser beam, absolutely.
Oh, individuals, plural.
Yes.
So
plural.
It would take many, or are the many more powerful than the one?
The many are definitely more powerful than the one, especially if they are trained practitioners with a discipline behind them.
Huh.
If they do not have the discipline, then one good one can do it.
Okay. And you're saying there's an ongoing war in this field that none of us know really anything about.
Yes.
Do you think these remote viewers know about such programs and just totally can't talk about it? Or do you think they have been convinced that their effort was the end at the CIA?
If they have only stayed in the remote viewing end of it, or the arena of remote viewing,
right,
I would think they would think it was over.
Yeah, they sound honest when they say that.
But we're talking about remote influencing, and that's been being done for tens of thousands of years.
Just know what she's saying is correct, and have questions. For example, if a curse is given and is put on your name, Darlene wonders, if you change your name, do you confuse the dark forces? That is an interesting question. We'll ask in a moment. And I know that Evelyn makes available, and I want to give her a chance to plug it, the implements of the craft. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I do want that question answered. It's a really neat one. If you have a curse put on your name or your family's name, and you change your name, is that a way to escape the curse?
No.
No, huh?
And most of the time, number one, because it is your original name. And so changing the name is not going to change the curse. But a practitioner, normally when they are affecting a curse, will use imitative and sympathetic magic.
And those are?
Imitative magic is, as I had said before, making an effigy or a representation of the individual.
Right. Okay.
Sympathetic magic is having sympathy in sympathy with the body, like fingernail pairings, hair,
or hair, yeah,
or article of clothing worn close to the body. When you have established those links, I don't care what your name is, you're going to be hit.
This business of having something of that person's, like their hair or their fingernail clippings, the only things that I can think of that are in both of those things would be the entire specific snowflake-like genetic makeup of that person.
Correct. Their essence.
Otherwise called their essence.
Correct.
And so using that, would it be fair to say using that specific genetic makeup, you are then casting it that specifically?
You are establishing
single...
the link to that person or to that family.
Yeah, or to that family. That would be genetics too, wouldn't it?
Correct, because sometimes they will put a curse that is generational.
That's absolutely right, and that would be genetics.
Correct.
So somewhere, somehow, this power, this air, earth, fire, water, is attaching genetically. That's incredible. Okay, Evelyn, you know, I want to give you a chance to do a plug here because I know you sell the implements, as it were, of the craft. My word, candles, scented things, spell casting
rituals.
I mean, do these come
oil.
With directions? Do you open it up and you get a little direction to cast the following spell?
Oh yes, all
really?
Rituals come with the instructions. And for those who want to really learn the craft, I have several classes on CDs and cassette tapes, like the Day of Magic, which is the basics of the craft, and then Introduction to Ritual, which is an advanced course, and of course Mirror Magic, which is exciting.
Mirror Magic?
Yes.
All right, wait, before we get into that, and we're just about to, because I want to hear about it, how, from your website, or how do people do this, or do you have a phone number, what's the deal?
Well, first of all, for those people who want to contact me, 818-985-9935, or 818-407-1951.
All right, a lot of people are going to be scrambling for pencils, so one of them was 818-985-9935, right?
Correct.
And the other one was what?
818-407-1951. And for those still using snail mail, I will send out a free catalog. They can write me at Paglini, Paglini, at P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413.
Sherman Oaks, home of the network.
Correct.
I wonder if that town's big enough for both of you.
Has been.
All right. Mirror magic. What's that?
Well, mirror magic is when, number one, you can see into your past, get information about the present, as well as go into the future.
Well, that would be useful. I mean, we can all look in our past. It's called memories.
Yes, but I'm talking about your reincarnated past.
Oh.
Past lives.
Oh.
And that is used in mirror magic. It's called scrying.
Sure.
Then, of course, there are worker mirrors, and those can be used, one, to protect yourself, your home, your family, your loved ones. You can also use worker mirrors in order to open up a portal to allow spirits to come through. You can also use it for astral projection. You can use a full-length mirror in order to do healings upon yourself. So for those people who are interested, I would suggest mirror magic.
And it really works.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And again, all of this comes with careful instructions. I never read instructions. I'd probably blow myself up. I always start out, oh, well, we've got one of these candles, little scent here, and let's just do all this, and, well, nothing happening. Now I'll read.
Well, I would suggest most people get a foundation in meditation and visualization before they do a ritual.
Yes.
So that they can focus their attention minutely and, as a laser beam, affect the change.
All right, mirror magic. You said you can look into the future.
Correct.
Now, I would like to ask, if you're able to look into the future, Evelyn, are you able to change what you see?
Forewarned is forearmed, yes.
So there's nothing, it's malleable. In other words...
Yeah, it's not set in stone.
It doesn't have to be whatever way it is that it's going to... That's fascinating. And so therefore, couldn't people virtually avoid accidents, avoid death, avoid... illness, avoid, I mean, you could go on and on.
Yes, you can.
And all of this with mirror magic.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there are tools out there to help us. All we have to do is tune in, get the discipline, and the practice makes perfect. We were talking about mass consciousness.
Yes. Yes, yes. As you know, I've done some wild experiments in my past here on the radio with mass consciousness. You know of an experiment?
Art, there have been many experiments that have been done. But I want to talk about two that most people don't know about.
Fire away.
Now, there are people in England that will know about this. It is documented and can certainly back me up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know, has mass consciousness ever been used? Yes. One was all of those practitioners in all of the cultures and traditions in England, in Europe, and in the U.S. In 1940, on an August night called Lammas, We collectively, mass consciously targeted Hitler and affected change and stopped an invasion to England. The second time that it was done was in 1944. On March the 21st, the vernal equinox.
Yes.
And that was done the second time to end the Second World War. It was, again, all of the practitioners around the world, no matter the tradition or the culture.
Okay, the implication of that, clearly, Evelyn, is that you all are in touch with each other.
That's right. The call does go out, Art.
How does that happen? Can you talk about that?
We have societies that are across the world, and each and every one of them are in touch with each other, whether it is by physical means
yes.
or by telepathic means.
Oh, that's wild.
And so, when we put out the call, it is answered. I am speaking on the 1944 especially, because in both instances, in 1940 as well as in 1944, my own family was involved. And so I speak from knowledge.
Uh-huh.
So yes, mass consciousness has been done. But again, Art, you're talking about a specific night where all have come together as one, focus their attention on a specific target.
The night of the witch.
And affected and altered and
history.
Influenced
history.
The outcome.
Yeah. That's amazing. You're telling me about this. Is there any further, documentation or proof or...
Yeah, like I said, in England, any person out there in the audience that is of England descent can back me up. This is documented.
Okay. All right. That's astounding, and I didn't know it. Listen, you promised to do something kind of interesting tonight, to give people in the audience the ability to contact their spirit guides.
That is correct.
As some kind of experiment. What do you have in mind before you do it, please?
Well, first of all, sir, I would like to give a warning. I want no one that is driving an automobile or a truck or operating any machinery to be going into an altered state of consciousness. I would like them to listen, but to not partake.
Okay, I have a warning like that on some of my prescription medicine.
Well, I want
heavy machinery.
Yeah, because I want to do this for those people. They can record it, and then they can try it at a later date.
All right.
But for those who would like to participate, last night, Art, I opened up the altar. I placed a black candle on the left, mm-hmm. a white candle on the right for balance. And I opened the portal. I called down a cone of power. And now what I want people to do is to close their eyes and to visualize a big, beautiful room. This room is going to be very well lit. It's very comfortable. And I want them to now walk into the room. They're going to see a nice, big, comfortable chair. I want them to walk to that chair and sit in it. Once they are comfortable in that chair, they're going to notice on the right side of the arm of the chair, there are two buttons. One is a red button, and the other will be a white button. I am asking them, please do not push any of these buttons yet.
Several people, because you said that so slowly, are already dead, having pushed the buttons. I might have been one of them. Go ahead.
Okay. First, they're going to notice there is a very special elevator in the corner of this big, beautiful room. This elevator is very unusual because it is cylindrical. The elevator door does not open from side to side, but from top to bottom. Now I would like these people who are participating to push the button that is red, to test it, and to watch the elevator door slowly descend down. They are going to watch it go all the way down, and once it reaches level, now they are going to push the white button to close it. And now we're going to begin. I want them to close their eyes. I want them now to walk into this great, big, beautiful room. Comfortable, well lit. Sit in the chair and push the red button. As it slowly descends, they will be able to make out first the head and then the neck and then the shoulders, the waist, and the rest of the body. A spirit guide, either male or female, will be there. Once that spirit guide has been fully exposed, that spirit guide will step out of the elevator. You are to get up from the chair, walk over to your spirit guide, and introduce yourself by your first and last name. And then ask the spirit guide the name they wish to be called. This spirit guide is there to guide you, to assist you, and to help you solve problems. They will not do the work for you, but they will be your guide to assist you. After you have received your first spirit guide, as I had mentioned, maybe male or female first.
Yes.
Then you can push the white button, allow the elevator door to ascend and close again, and when ready, they will be again push the red button, allow it slowly to descend, and their second spirit guide will come out.
Holy mackerel.
So they will receive both a male and a female spirit guide by doing this. They will be able to use this spirit guide for as long as that guide decides to remain present. When their task has been finished, then they will leave. And another, if necessary, can be retrieved with this test.
All right. So you just told people how to meet their spirit guides.
That is correct.